Well, the next couple of weeks, so we're going to try to give a little bit of an overview to the sugyas of Shemitah Kesafim and the halachas of Prusbol. Of course, obviously, in Yom HaDiyoma, it's also a sugya that really is somewhat of a self-contained sugya, that really it's about two bladders on Masechet Gittin and one siman Shulchan Aruch. One can really, a little bit of time, one can really get a good handle on this particular sugya. So the sugya begins, of course, with Pesukim and Chumash and Parshas Re'eh, we just read last week. But the Torah tells us, Miket Sheva Shanim Ta'aseh Shemitah, at the end of the Shemitah year, so one has to cancel all loans. One is not permitted to collect the loan, to ask the person to pay back the loan. That's the basic halacha, the halacha of Shemitah's Kesafim. There is a major machlokes hatanoim, machlokes erishonim halacha, whether this mitzvah even applies bizman hazeh. Why should anybody think that it doesn't apply bizman hazeh? So there is a machlokes hatanoim as to whether this mitzvah, Shemitah's Kesafim, is part of a package deal together with Yovel. Because the Torah alludes, at least according to some, to the connection between some of the halachas of Shemitah and some of the halachas of Yovel. And therefore, Rabbi Dan Nasi was led to the conclusion that the only time the Shemitah's Kesafim applies, the only time you have to cancel the loans, Min HaTorah, is only if Yovel applies. If Yovel doesn't apply like today, we don't have Yovel because we don't have all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yashvei Aleha. So therefore, we don't have Yovel today. So therefore, according to Rabbi Dan Nasi, we would not have Shemitah's Kesafim, Min HaTorah today. According to the Chachamim, there is no such drasha, there is no connection between the two, and one can have Shemitah's Kesafim independent of Yovel, even on the level of the Araisa. How do we pass in the Halacha? So there are three shittas in the Rishonim. Sounds strange, right? You have three shittas, only two possibles in the Tanoim. So there are three shittas la Halacha in the Rishonim. So the Ramban in Maseches Gittin, Paskins like the Chachamim. When you have a majority against Rabbi Dan Nasi, you're not going to follow Rabbi Dan Nasi, you have to follow like the Rabban, like the Chachamim. So therefore the Ramban says that Shemitah's Kesafim today is independent of Yovel, and it exists mid the Araisa, like it existed. This is the opinion of the Ramban. Notwithstanding the Ramban, most of the Rishonim side with Rabbi Dan Nasi. For a variety of reasons, many of the sugyas and shas seem to bear out Rabbi Dan Nasi's opinion. Most of the Rishonim assume that Shemitah's Kesafim applies even that Shemitah's Kesafim doesn't apply mid the Araisa b'zman hazeh. Assuming that is true, like Rabbi Dan Nasi, that Shemitah's Kesafim doesn't apply mid the Araisa, does it at least apply mid the Rabbanan? So that was a further machlokes Rishonim. Those are the two extra shittas. So the Balaam Or and the Ravid were of the opinion that not only does it not apply mid the Araisa, it doesn't even apply mid the Rabbanan. I mean, there's not zero garnish. There is no such thing as Shemitah's Kesafim as manazeh. I, the Gemara in Gittin, speaks about in the days of the Amorayim, which was way past the point of Yovel. There was no Beis Hamikdash anymore. And Afal Pichen, the Amorayim were observing the dinim of Shemitah's Kesafim. The Gemara speaks about the Tamidim of Rav Ashi writing prusbuls to one another. So clearly, if it was practiced in the days of Chazal, so the Balamo and the Ravid write that was a Midas Chasidus, that it was just a Psachumra Minig Biyama, but it wasn't really a halacha. And Me'ika Mikra Din, the whole dinim of Shemitah's Kesafim is not Midaraisin nor Midarabonim. So these are the two extreme positions in the Rishonim, either the position of the Ramban, the Shemitah today is Deraisa, or the view of the Ravid and the Balamo, the Shemitah's Kesafim today is nothing, not even Midaraisin. Rabban, it's just a mitzvah chasidus bi'alma. Then you have what's conventional wisdom, what seems to be the majority of the Rishonim, who say that yes, on the one hand we paskin like Rebbe that Shemitah is not midaraisa. On the other hand, there is Shemitah midarabban, and that's clearly seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara Maseches Gittin for sure that Shemitah's Kesafim does exist midarabban. The Chacham instituted it bizman hazeh as a zeichel of Shemitah, that we want to remember Shemitah's Kesafim, same way we do many things zeichel to the old days. So the Chacham instituted zeichel of Shemitah as well. This is a position of the Rambam and of the Rosh, and what appears to be most probably most of the Rishonim. So when all the dust settles, we have three different possibilities: either Shemitah's Kesafim is deraisa today, Shemitah's Kesafim is not even midarabbanan, or Shemitah's Kesafim is midarabbanan. How do we pass in Lamais and Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch presents that, of course, yes, Shemitah's Kesafim applies, like Rov HaRishon, like the Ram and the Rosh, that one has to be concerned with Shemitah's Kesafim today, albeit on a level of the Rabbanan. So the Ramah writes that in Chesh Mishpat Siman Samach Zayin, that in the communities that he was aware of, namely in Eastern Europe in the 1500s, so he said most people didn't write prusbuls, most people never heard of Shemitah's Kesafim. It was Mishnayos and Masechah Shviyos, it was Sugyas and Rishalmi, Sugyas and Dafyomi and Gittin of Lamed Vav, but otherwise nobody really practiced Shemitah's Kesafim. Nobody wrote prusbuls in Eastern Europe in the 1500s. So the Ramah writes, what's going on? What are they relying on? So the Ramah says that it's not a new problem. He says, if you look at the Chivas HaRosh, so the Rosh himself writes that he came to different communities, and lo and behold, they also weren't writing prusbuls. So the Rosh was shrying, Chai V'Kayim, why aren't you writing prusbuls? What happened to Shemitah's Kesafim? And nobody listened to him. So the Ramah says, no one listened to the Rosh, no one's listening to me. So what's going on? So why is it that there were some communities that had this practice of totally ignoring Shemitah's Kesafim? So the simple pshat in this custom was that they held it right. And the Balmor means they held it. There is no Shemitah's Kesafim. There was such a custom that existed in Europe. And the Ramos testified that that was the minhag in his days in Eastern Europe. There are other reasons that are suggested to defend this practice, that there were Jewish communities, respectable Jewish communities, who did not observe the halachas of Shemitah's Ksafim at all. So the Rush himself alludes to the following possibility, that even though the Rush's opinion is that Shemitah's Ksafim applies, and we should advocate for it applying and tell people the right principles, but if the Olam perceives that it doesn't apply, if people think that Shemitah doesn't apply, so maybe that falls under the category of what's called a Mas Damanash Lotish B'teini Shviyas. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Mako says that in theory I could lend you money, and I could say to you, listen, I'm only lending you the money on the condition that we don't observe the halachas of Shemitah. So such a t'nai would be valid. Normally, you're not permitted to make a condition against the Din HaTorah, but since this is Davar Shebamamon, since this is something which only is monetary related, so therefore a person can make such a t'nai. Like Moshe Madabadoma, the Gemara says a person can make it tonight. He's marrying his wife on the condition that he's not going to support her. So if she agrees to the tonight, she agrees. So that's called the Davar Shebamamon. Even though the Torah says she erkes his own, the Torah says he has to provide her food and clothing. But if they make a specific stipulation otherwise, and she agrees to the condition, so then the tonight is Kayim, since it's ultimately Davar Shebamamon. So that's what the Gemara says in Masechus Machos also, that if a person words the tonight properly and says that I'm hereby lending you money on the condition that we will not observe the halachas of Shemitah, so be it. So Shemitah doesn't apply. So they're right. No.
I'm saying that. So is that a Yisur as well?
You mean, is there anything wrong with making such a Tanai?
Correct.
Oh, so that's a big machlokes. So the Chassam Sofer has a Chiddush that that's an Yisur Deraisa to make such a Tanai. Because that's a violation of Peniel Levavcha and Davel Levavcha B'leal Leymar. So there's a Ritvan Mesachis Machas that's beferish against that. That says that there's nothing wrong with that. The Yisur of not lending money before the Shemitah here, because you're afraid of Shemitah, that's only if you don't lend the money. But if you lend the money and figure out a way to stand over your head to get around Shemitah, so that's not an Yisur, that's not an Yisur Machal. This is beferish right from Ritva. Ribbis are very, so Ribbis is a special unique Issa, because here, when it comes to Ribbis, the Torah puts an Issa on the Lova also. So the Torah is in effect telling us that Ribbis is something which is not Nita to Mechir. The image, you cannot make a Tanai in Ribbis. Ribbis is the exception to the rule. Oh, so that's the Ritva's Kasha, right. That's exactly the Ritva's Kasha. The Ritva asks, why do you have to bother making a Prusbul? Why don't you just tell everybody to make a Tanai? So you see from the Ritva's Kasha that he holds there's nothing wrong with making a tie. So what's the answer? So he gives you a lot of technical answers. He says, we're afraid, because when I lend you the money, it's a year before Rosh Hashanah, so who's going to remember, who's thinking about Shemitah's Ksav from a year before? So we're afraid people are going to forget to make the Tanai. Or the Ritva writes that the Chacham Davka wanted to make Prusbul because Prusbul would remind people about Shemitah's Ksav and would accomplish a much greater Zeichel Shemitah. Whereas a Tanai is a private thing, like, all right, we're making Shurim, we had a call Yom Rishon last week about Prusbul. Everything, you look online, all the Shurim, everyone's talking about Prusbul. So that's what the Chabon wanted. They wanted all this excitement, all this PR for Prusbul. Whereas if you would have just had it tonight, so then a couple of people would have done it and nobody would have remembered about it. So, I'll call upon him. The Rush suggests that perhaps that's what was going on, that even though, technically speaking, people should be writing principles and they should be observing Shemitah's Ksafim properly, but if nobody's planning on doing it, so it's like in understood tonight, when they lend you the money, like we live in Krakow in the 1500s, and no one's going to observe Shemitah, so it's Ke'ilu, I'm lending you the money, I'm an ass that we're not going to observe Shemitah. So that was the Rush's little bit of a limud chos in those communities that weren't writing prosbos. There are others who suggest that other possible limud chosim for those communities that weren't writing prosbos, that Trumas HaDeshen has a fascinating insight. We usually think that prosbos and Shemitah's Ksafim, there's really no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara said Beferish, that it's not a mitzvah Kliyah Baretz, it has nothing to do with agriculture. So nevertheless, the Trumas HaDeshen writes that we find that there's a concept that whenever we're dealing with a mitzvah midrabanan, such as let's say Vizman Azeh, the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisus is only midrabanan, or the mitzvah of Shemitah's Karka, according as we spoke about last year, is most probably only midrabanan. So we find that these types of mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs of Tulis Ba'aretz oriented, when the Chachamim instituted them midrabanan, so they instituted them in Eretz Yisrael, and they also extended a little bit what's called the Aratzas Asmuchos, that we observe certain halachas which are basically Eretz Yisrael oriented, we observe them in the lands which are immediately adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So let's say, for example, Egypt, or in Babel perhaps, in Saudi Arabia. Anyone happens to be in those places, so may have to be concerned with Trumas and Maishas, maybe even Shemitah, but the Rabban, and again, leaving out the details of this halacha right now. But there is a concept called Aratzas Asmuchos in halacha. So the Trumas HaDeshen suggests that if Shemitah's Ksafim would be the Araisa, so then it applies B'chol Mokom. There's no question. The Sifrei says, Kikara Shemitah Hashem B'chol Mokom. So even if you live in Tinek, you have to observe Shemitah's Ksafim properly. But Shemitah B'zman says, only the Rabbanan. The whole thing is a Zeichel Shemitah. So Hey Mamu Vei Mamu. So it must be that when the Chazal formulated this mitzvah, the Rabbanan, long of Shemitah, they only formulated it either in Eretz Yisrael proper or the Eretz Tasmuchos to Eretz Yisrael. But we, says Rosh Hashanah, we live in Germany, we're thousands of miles away from Eretz Yisrael. We live in America, we're so far from Eretz Yisrael, so they never instituted Shemitah's Ksafim. That was the Limud Zchos of the Rosh Hashanah, a very, very difficult Limud Zchos, because that Svara of Eretz Tasmuchos only makes sense when it's an agricultural based mitzvah. At the end of the day, Shemitah's Ksafim has nothing to do with agriculture, it's zero to do with agriculture. So Mehecha Teisa, that they formulated such a strange takana that it only applies to Eretz Yisrael, to their Eretz HaSmuchos. It's very difficult to understand. So Lemais, at the end of the day, all the Limud Chosim in those communities, each one is somewhat difficult for us to swallow. That to say that we rely on the Balamon and the Raivit is very schwer. They were Mamash Das Yochis. They seem to be against the simple reading of the Gemara. To say that there's a Tanai, an understood Tanai, most people never heard of the Gemara Machas Dav Gimel and Beis. They never heard of such a Tanai. They're not sure what they're doing, that this is considered to be a valid Tanai. According to Chassam Sofer, you're not even allowed to make such a Tanai. And this idea of the Trumas Hadesh of Eretz HaSmuchos is also very difficult for us to understand. So notwithstanding the Limud Chos, you have to always be Melamed Chos in Klal Yisrael. But Aval Pichem, with all the Limud Chos put together, the Pashas and the Dvarim is that we should observe Shemitah's Ksafim, like the Shulchan Aruch says, like the Ramah himself basically says. The Ramah says that he's not telling you not to. The Ramah's not saying he didn't write a prose bowl. He's just saying that people in Krakow weren't writing prose bowls.
Do we know that people in other towns were writing prose
bowls? I don't know.
Evidence of that?
I don't know, you get the impression that in Eastern Europe in the 1500s, most people weren't writing principles. That's what it sounds like. But in the later generations, the Poskim pointed out that we really should go back to what it says in the Gemara, what it says in the Rishonim. And the minig has changed over the last couple hundred years. So the minig has gone chadish minig again. The minig became ready to write prosbuls in Europe. I imagine in the later years they were writing prosbuls in America for sure. We read prosbuls. For sure we read prosbuls. So the minig in today's world is to follow. It's not like a newfangled chumrah. It's what it says in the Rambam, what it says in the Rosh, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, what it says in the Chumash, I mean, with the Rabbana, the Gemara. So the simple reading of all the sugyas appears to negate all of those reasons which were Limud Chosim. So therefore, the Maisa, we should definitely insist on observing Prisba, we should definitely insist on writing on observing Shmitas Ksafim properly. So now that we have this concept of Shmitas Ksafim, so now what do you do with it? So of course, we know the famous statement of the Mishnah in Masech HaShviyas, that Hil HaZok in Suah, the very serious problem that people were violating right and left the Pasuk in the Chumash of last week's Pasha of not lending money before Shemitah, which is a terrible problem. The Torah says that's a Dovah Bliyal. The Torah calls it like a maxim of Eretz Zara. Im Dovah Levavcha Bliyal Lema Kavash Nasas Shevash Nasas Shemitah. The person who refrains from lending money because he's afraid Shemitah is going to cancel the loan is a terrible chait. So Hillel HaZaken had to correct this. Hillel HaZaken said we have to find some kind of a mechanism to circumvent Shemitah, because otherwise the reality on the ground is, the economic reality is that people are not lending money. So what did he do? How did he solve this problem? So he made up a new concept called Prusbul. What in the world does Prusbul mean? So Prusbul means, rather than the person collecting the loan himself, he basically, symbolically, halachically hands over the loan to Beis Din, and Beis Din does the dirty work on his behalf. Where did Hillel dig up this concept? There's such a concept at all in the halacha that handing over the chov to Beis Din somehow changes anything? So the way most of the Rishonim present is that Prusbul, although it is mid derabana, the whole concept is not a deraistika concept, it has its roots in a deraistika. There is a din that the Sefrei and the Rosh Gittin speak about, what's called Moses Shtaros of Lebeis Din, that if a person literally comes before Shemitah, before Shoshana, and he comes and he takes his documents, his IOUs, and he hands them over to the Beis Din, and he says, listen, you guys do the work, I'm not going to collect this chov anymore, you guys collect the chov, so that Shemitah's Ksafim does not apply to, because the Torah says, Lo Yigos Asher'el V'yasoch, if you as an individual are not allowed to go and demand the money, but if Beis Din is doing it, you are Moses Shtaros of Lebeis Din, you're out of the picture, so Shemitah B'chlal doesn't apply on a level of the Araisa. So that is in fact a din min haTorah called Moses Shtaros of Lebeis Din. But that's not what a prusbul is by any stretch of the imagination. When we write prusbuls, we don't carry out, go to bring your IOUs and hand them over to the Rabbanim. We write a new document which says that we are hereby symbolically, hocus pocus, handing over all of our chayvus to Beis Din. So what Hillel did was he borrowed the deraisa concept of Moses Shtaros of Lebeis Din, and he instituted a derabbanan concept called Moses Chavos of Lebeis Din. So you don't hear the physical shtar to Beis Din, you just hear symbolically the rights of the shtar, the rights to collect to the Beis Din. So on a level of deraisa, that's meaningless, that's worthless mid deraisa. But mid derabbanan, Hillel instituted that that's okay. What do you mean? He'll do that's okay. If Shemitah is a din d'oraisa, so how in the world could the prusbul work? So the answer, at least according to many Rishonim, is that Erechinami, that if Shemitah would have been Deraik, Sataka Prosbul could not have worked. That the only reason why Prosbul works is because the whole Shemitah is on the Midirabon in this manazah. As we said before, it depends on Yovel. So that's the simple reading, at least of Abaye's statement in Gittin Naflamid Vav, that the whole reason why we even have a concept of Prosbul today is only predicated in the assumption that Shemitah is Derabon. Imtim Tzalomu, the Rabban would be right. Imtim Tzalomu, we live at a time when Yovel comes back. Mehiri Yabon HaMikdash will have Yovel Deraik, Elah Shemitah's Ksafim Deraik. Then all the Prus bowls are going to be worthless. So then we're going to go back to the old halacha that Shemitah's Ksafim really actually applies. So that's a machlekes of Rishonim. There's a sugya in Gittin of Lamed Vav and Beis where the Gemara first answers Shemitah Bezman Azev Derabbanon, and then 10 lines later the Gemara throws out the phrase Hefker Beis and Hefker, and there's a machlekes of Rishonim how to read that line. So many of the Rishonim say that Hefker Beis and Hefker isn't going to work here, that for technical reasons, Taisus tries to figure out a technical reason on Gittin Lamed Vav why Hefker Beis and Hefker doesn't apply. But other Rishonim in fact do say like that. Other Rishonim say no, it's not true, that the maskanas of Gemara is that Shemitah's Ksafim works even if Shemitah, I'm sorry, that Prusbul works even if Shemitah would be deraisa. Even Bisman Shabbos Hamikdash, even Bisman Meheri Yavon Hamikdash, Shemitah will be deraisa, still Prusbul works based on the principle of Hefker Bezin Hefker. That in the realm of Dinei Mamonos, the monetary law, Bezin has pretty much of a free hand to do whatever they want. So hey Mamu, hey Mamu, they can institute the concept of Prusbul as well. So in the end of the day, it's a Mechlekes HaRishonim, what will the Halacha look like in the days of Bayis Shlishi? Will we have Prusbul Shirum or not? So according to many Rishonim, no. According to many Rishonim, Prusbul is going to go away with Golos. When Golos ends, Prusbul is going to end also. And according to other Rishonim, no, it's going to be around. It's here to stay. It's here for eternity because Prusbul can even work with Mizman Meshmita's Derais. Again, not that much of an Afkamina right now. Hopefully, it'll be an Afkamina in a couple of weeks. Maybe Yavon HaMikdash. But for now, for sure, Mizman Azeh, that Shemitah, we assume is Derabonon. So for sure, Prusbul is going to work. And as we said, one really should write a Prusbul. The basic principle of a Prusbul involves the idea of being Moser Chavos of Lebezdin. Is that a chisorn of Amuna? I'm not sure I would label that as. I'm not in such a high level as you to even perceive that as being a chisorn.
I'm just asking you.
Yeah. If you want to write a prismal now, you can write a prismal. So the Gemara is quite clear that the basic thrust of a Prusbul is the Mosach HaRavos of LeBezdin. Bezdin is a pretty major component in terms of the writing of the Prusbul. What exactly does that mean? You have to be Mosach HaRavos of LeBezdin. What does the Bezdin mean? Bezdin means a lot of different things. Sometimes Bezdin means 23, 71, 3. You know, it can mean smucha, without smucha. It can mean a lot of different things. So what does Bezdin for Prusbul mean? So the Gemara has a very cryptic statement in Maseches Gittin, that Amar Shmuel, that you can only write a Prusbul in a very, very serious Beis Din, a very high significant type of a Beis Din, such as the Beis Din of Surah, the Beis Din of Nahardah. Shmuel happened to have been on the Beis Din of Nahardah, but he's writing that you don't have to come to meet and go to Rav also. Rav was my colleague, he was the Rosh, the Av Beis Din and Surah, either one of those, but the Dinim are good. And the Gemara says, if you can't make a Din, you go to the Beis Din of Rav Ami and Rav Asi. You go to some really heavy duty, but the Dinim that existed, Bizman, the early Amorim. Then and only then can you write a Prusbul. Regular, just stomp three guys, put them together and make a Hataras the Darim, and then write a Prusbul. That you cannot do, says the Gemara. That would not be considered to be a significant enough Beis Din. Why is there such a halacha? So the Gemara has two different reasons to explain why Shmuel said what he said. So the Gemara has a lot of problems with this Gemara. But a historical question concerning the formulation of the institution of Prusbul. So Gemara raises the question and says, when Hillel instituted Prusbul, did he institute it like a regular takana, that once a takana was made, so the takana lasts, the olam vod, let's say the Chacham instituted the issue of Muktzah. So the institute of Muktzah should last, the olam vod. They instituted other dinim, they instituted the Yom Tov of Purim, the institute of Purim should last, the olam vod. That's how most dinim derabbanan are, that they were instituted as a takana, like kanala dairus. What do we say now, that Prusbul was such a difficult takana, Chacham had such trouble swallowing the takana of Prusbul, because after all, with all the lumdus, so the Torah says he's supposed to cancel the debt. He did the Raisa, the Rabban, and here the Chum are finagling and figuring out a way to kunst to circumvent the halacha. So the Chacham was so concerned, they didn't really want to institute Prusbul. One of the Amorim says that Prusbul is Ubn the Dine. It's like a chutzpah, the takana of Prusbul. That happened. Institute Prusbul, you're going against what it says in the Chumash. So the Chacham formulated in a very, very unique way. They said that we're not going to insist that Prusbul exists in the Olam Vod. We're going to leave it up to the Beis in each generation to either reaffirm the takana of Prusbul or to decide to revoke the takana of Prozbul. So Hillel instituted it for that generation, there should be Prozbul. 7 years later, they'll make a new Moshe Beis. Then if they decide to keep the takana, matov. They decide to abolish the takana, also matov. So comes the Gemara and says, if you take that second interesting historic view of how Prozbul was formulated, different from most other takanas, it turns out that each and every Shemitah year, the Beis Din Shebechol Dor Vador has to reaffirm the takana. What do you mean reaffirm? Every 7 years you have to have get everybody together and take a vote to see whether we're going to have a Prozbul or not? No. Says the Gemara, when you sit down, when the three Dayanim sit down and decide to write a Prozbul, what they're doing is being Mekayim, the takana of Hillel. That means it's given to each Beis Din and each generation to decide, do they want to reaffirm the takana or not? So that's quite a hefty job. That means to reaffirm the takana of Prozbul. That means basically that the takana of Prozbul doesn't have its teeth from the takana of Hillel. The takana of Prozbul is each and every generation. The Dayanim Sheba also Adoa are reinstituting, in effect, it's a Tchias HaMesim of Prozbul. Basically, last at the end of last Shemitah, so Prozbul's off the books. That's it. To be redetermined in 7 years from now whether it's going to come back to life. And now when the Beis Din sits down, Erev Hashanah, and says, we hereby, with the power invested in us, hereby decide to reaffirm the takan of Prozbul, that's quite a heavy load that they're carrying. So they have to be a chashuv Beis Din. You can't have three stam guys in the street just decide they're going to step up to the plate and reaffirm Prozbul. It's got to be a Beis Din chashuv Shabbat Yisidar. So that's one reason the Gemara says that's a very razzle dazzle reason as to why you need such as a Beis Din chashuv. Then the Gemara says, no, even without that reason, even if Prozbul was instituted by Hillel and the Takana is Kayem as the Olam Vod, you still need a Beis Din Chashuv because the Takana was to give it to a Beis Din Chashuv, not to give it to three guys on the street. So no matter how you slice it, the Gemara says you need a Beis Din Chashuv, and the examples the Gemara gives are quite heavy duty hitters in terms of Batei Dinim, the Beis Din of Rav, the Beis Din of Shmuel, the Beis Din of Rav and Rav Asi. Those are very, very serious Batei Dinim. Any other Beis Din is off the charts.
But that's only for once Rabbi said, yes, we're doing it again.
That's what the Gemara seems to present, that no, they means they left it up, that you can have a situation where some but they did them are ratifying the Takana and some of them are abolishing the Takana.
So doesn't that be a chaos? I mean, I thought the whole idea was to see
it's all symbolic. No one's going to really get up and say we don't want to follow Prozbul. It's all symbolic.
It's not like Captain Mechir when I said, listen, this one's going to sell, but that one's not. I mean,
the whole idea is that the reason why the Chavim may have formulated in such a takana because they were so hesitant to make takana Prozbul. They didn't want to shove this takana down everyone's throat because it's a necessity of a takana, but it's such a shvach takana. As it mamish flies in the face of what it says in the Chumash. So it was necessary, and the Chum had the ability to hefke beis and hefke, whatever the reason is, to institute it. But you see that the Chumim were themselves were hesitating in terms of the implementation of this takana. So no matter how you slice it, the Gemara says you need a beis and chashuv. No question, you read the Gemara simply, so you require a beis and chashuv. So the question is, how does that play out this man hazeh? So the Rosh quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam took the Gemara at face value and said, you must have a beis and to the caliber of Rav and Shmuel and Rav Ami and Razi. And Rabbeinu Tam said, and therefore, bisman hazeh, we do not have such a batei dinim, and therefore you cannot write a Prozbul bisman hazeh. So Rabbeinu Tam says, what do you have to do? So you stop. You have to observe. We discuss him. Maybe you can make it tonight. You can figure out other eitzes. But the eitz of a Prozbul, Rabbeinu Tam says, is forget it. It's not even in the ballpark because we don't have a beis din of such caliber. That was in the early years of Rabbeinu Tam. Then the Rush writes, and in his later years, Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind. Rabbeinu Tam said that even though, yes, we do require a beis din choshev, that is true, but how do we define beis din choshev? So based on what we learned yesterday in Chumash, Ela Shofet HaShayyeh B'yom Mahim, that Yiftach B'dorik Yishmu B'doro. It means that whatever beis is considered to be the respected, acceptable beis in that community, at that time in history, that has the halachic status of the beis in Rav and Shmuel and Rav Asi. So Rabbeinu Tam didn't back out from his assumption that you require beis in Chashuv, like the Gemara says. He just revamped and redefined beis in Chashuv. In his early years, he thought there was, in a sense, an objective definition. You had to be get 100 on the Bechina, you had to be mamish holding and learning like Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbeinu Tam said he himself wouldn't be able to pass such a Bechina. But he says in later years, he thought that as long as it's the accepted Beis Din in that place and time and place, and that would also meet the requirements of the Beis Din, quote unquote, of Rav and Shmuel. The Rabbeinu Tam was mamish did a ma'isa like this. Rabbeinu Tam himself was on the Beis Din for Prozbul, because after all, that was not Rabbeinu Tam. Who else is going to sit on the Beis Din? So Rabbeinu Tam himself observed the halachas of Prozbul in his later years in life, even though in his early years he was opposed to the writing of Prozbul. So the Rosh, after quoting this back and forth change of mind of Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh writes, he thinks that we could disagree with the whole Rabbeinu Tam. Bein bi'adusa bein b'zeknusa. Hakol mikol kol. Why? Says the Rosh, that statement of the Gemara that you require a beis din chashuv, so he's not convinced that we paskin like that halacha altogether. Why should we not paskin like that halacha? Because the Gemara tells us in later generations that the Tamidim of Ravashi, the Rabbanim de Beravashi, used to observe prusbul with each other. They would get together every Shana and they supervise prusbuls for one another. So asks the Rosh, the Rabbanim de Beravashi, they were the Yeshiva Bacharim. They weren't the Gedali Ador. They weren't the Pate Dinim. They weren't the Afdeis Dinim. They weren't Ravashi himself. It was the Bacharim in Yeshiva, the teenage boys in Yeshiva, the Rabbanim de Beravashi came. They had Smicha ready, the Rabbanim de Beravashi, whoever they were. They weren't the Gedali Ador Mamish. And still they were writing prusbuls to one another. So you see from here, says the Rosh, that there is no halacha that you require Beis Din Chashuv. I Shmuel said it. Who said we paskin like Shmuel? Shmuel was rejected by the lady Amorim, that as long as it's a Beis Din Koldehu, so that's good enough. Three guys on the street, they look like pretty religious people, they know a little bit about Prusbul, Hataras Tadarim, Prusbul, it's all the same thing, Mechiris Chametz, Hat Mechirin, knock them all off at one time, you can do it, that's fine, that's good enough. That's what the Rosh writes, Lamaskana. The other Rishon, Rabbeinu Tam, and the other Rishon, like the Rambam, will say, Mapitom, we're going to throw out Shmuel because you have a diuk from Rav Ashi's Tamidim. Who says Rav Ashi's Tamidim were nobodies? The Rabbanim and the Rav Ashi. They were Rav Ashi's right hand men. They were the Dayanim. They were the ones who were sitting on the base. Then they weren't just stomped three guys off the street. How can you bring a riot from the fact that the Prusbuls of Rabbanim and the Rav Ashi were acceptable, that the Prusbul of every Tom, Dick, and Harry can be acceptable also? It's not true, says the other Rishonim. You require a real base in Choshev, at least Shabbat Osamachm Shabbat Osam. Man. So at the end of the day, we have three shittas in the Rishonim. What exactly is the status of such a Beis Din? How do we create a Beis Din that's acceptable to write a Prusbul? So according to Rabbeinu Tam of the early years, you got to go back in time to Rav and Shmuel's days. Short of that, no Beis Din is good. According to Rabbeinu Tam in his later years, as long as it's the equivalent in the time and place of such a Chashuv Beis Din, that would also be okay. And according to the Rosh, you don't need anything. Three guys in the street, that's fine. They're kosher to be dayanim, whatever that means. That's fine. It's no problem. They don't have to be a Beis Din Chashuv anymore. So how do we paskin halacha and the shayla? So this is the machlekes between the mechaber and the ramah. So the mechaber is machmer and the shayla. The Shulchan Aruch is machmer that you require a Beis Din Chashuv, albeit he doesn't quote the chumradikah version of Beis Din Chashuv. He quotes Rabbeinu Tam's revamped version of Beis Din Chashuv, but it has to be a Beis Din that sits on cases normally, that's considered to be a Beis Din Chashuv, Shabbat Oseh Machem Oseh Zman, a place you would really go to for Dinei Torah, for Dinei Mamonos. That's a Beis Din for the purposes of Prusbul. And the ramah writes that the minig ha'olam, again, there's the ramah writing that the minig was never to write Prusbul in the first place, but he writes that even those people who are writing Prusbuls in Eastern Europe, nobody went to the Beis Dins of they didn't come to the Ramos Beis Din. They went, hey, three guys in the street, whatever they put together, ad hoc Beis Din, that was also good enough for the purposes of writing Prusbul. But Chaynogu, the Ramos writes, that's what the custom in Eastern Europe was. Even those who insisted on writing Prusbuls would write the Shvacha Prusbuls with a Beis Din, any three guys, and that was and they would call it a day. So at the end of the day, we have a Mechlekes Poskim between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramos. How should we be Noyeg? Should we insist Dafkan on a Beis Din Choshev, or should we let us get away with any three guys on the street? So l'chora, if the Rosh Shmitas Kesafim comes once every 7 years, so let's try to be machmer. Why not? What do you have to get involved in a shayla? Let's go to a Beis Din Choshev. So the problem is more of a technical problem than a halachic problem. How are you going to go to a Beis Din Choshev? That means, let's say for argument's sake, again, leaving out the politics we'll take, let's say we're in Eretz Yisrael. So everyone's going to decide, all of Eretz Yisrael is going to decide, okay, we're all going to go to the Badatz, we're all going to go to the Eid HaChareidus, we want to all write our Prusbul. So what's going to happen? Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have en masse thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people standing in line to write their Prusbul. It's ridiculous. It's not going to work that way. It's just practically not feasible. So you want to be machmir, to be yitzeh, those shittas who say you need a beis and choshev, how are you going to do it practically? So there is a suggestion that was given, which at first glance sounds like a radical suggestion, that who says that a Prusbul has to be written in the presence of a beis din? What? How can I even make such a statement? Isn't that the whole point of a Prusbul? To hand over Yechovas to Beis Din? So who says that the Prusbul has to be done in the presence of Beis Din? Perhaps I can hand over my Chovas to Beis Din. Shalom b'fneyam. I could write a separate document that says, Hareini Moiser L'Rav Pliny, U'L'Rav Pliny, U'L'Rav Pliny, the Beis Din Choshev Shevaisim Malkum Shevaisman sitting in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. I'm handing over all my shtaris, all my chovos to them. I'll have two witnesses sign. I have to have somebody sign the document, or else how do we know it's an authentic document? I'll have two witnesses sign at the bottom of the document that that's what happened, and that's it. I don't have to give them the Prusbul, I don't have to tell them about the Prusbul, they don't have to know about the Prusbul. They can sit in sitting and learning Torah and sitting on Didei Torah in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim not be bothered with 10,000 people bombarding them in Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I'll have my approval with the Beis Din Choshev. Gevaldik Sholem Yisrael, what a gevaldik Eitzah. Assuming that that's true, assuming that one could pull off such a stunt of not having to physically appear in front of Beis Din. So is there any precedent for that? It would be a great idea. It would make life so easy for us. We could have a cake and eat it. We could write for a Choshev of Beis Din, and we don't have to even come to the Choshev of Beis Din. So this is all hinging upon one cryptic statement in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says in Masechah Shviyas that when you write a prosbul, so the Yerushalmi uses the following lashon, afilu hein baromi. Even if they're in Rome, you could write a prosbul. The only problem with the Yerushalmi is very often the Yerushalmi, you're not sure who the subject of that statement is. Afilu hein baromi. Who's in Rome exactly? So the Mordechai writes that it means the Dayanim in Rome. It means the Dayanim, they went on a cruise. They went to Italy, whatever. They're waiting for Ben Hazmanim. So they're sitting in Rome, and I'm sitting in Eretz. So I got to write my prosbul. I can't find a Beis Din. So the Rishami says, no problem, if you remember me, the Dayanim in Rome, that's also okay. So according to the way the Mordechai is reading the Rishami, it's clear as day that the Rishami is taking a stand on this issue. The Rishami is saying is that the Dayanim don't have to be present for the principal. You can write a principal, Shalom, if they are Dayanim, and finish, end of discussion. So that would be great. The only problem is that the Ramban and the Ran have a different pshat than the Rishami. The Ramban and the Ran say that afilu hein baromi is referring to not the Dayanim, it's referring to the shtaros. That means that you can write a principal even if your documents aren't in your pocket, even though you're not going to give them to the Beis Din, and you don't even have them to give them to the Beis Din. Your documents are 1,000 miles away, tucked away in a safe in Rome. Don't worry about it. You can still write a prosbul. That's also okay, because you're not being most of the shtar anyway. You're only being most of the chov. According to that pshat in the Rishami, then there's no precedent to tell us that you can write a prosbul shalom from the Dayanim. Everything is hinging upon that, the cryptic line in the Rishami, and that line doesn't mean that. So then you probably go back to what we would have originally thought, that of course you have to have the Beis Din present. So how do we paskin l'mais on this shayla? Can you write a prosbul shalom b'fnei ha-dayonim? So there are more rights here. Not a problem. You can write a prosbul shalom b'fnei ha-dayonim. The Shulchan Aruch seems to quote 2 days about it. It's not really machriya what the halacha is, but there are more smekel. You can write a prosbul shalom b'fnei ha-dayonim. So where does this place us b'zman hazeh? Now we have two different factors to consider. On the one hand, we would like very much to write a prosbul in front of a Beis Din Choshev. On the other hand, practically it's not really feasible to write in front of a Beis Din Choshev. Everybody can insist on mas to write a prosbul in Beis Din Choshev. So you have to come up practically with one of two solutions. Either you will forego the requirement of Beis Din Choshev. You rely on the Rosh, and the original Ramo says that forget the Beis Din Choshev. The three guys who do Ataras the Dharm fields, just have them sign off in your prosbul and shine and forget Beis Din Choshev and rely on the Mekilim. So that's one option. But the other option is to follow the Machamirim that you require a Beis Din Choshev, but to rely on the Kula that you don't have to go to the Beis Din Choshev, that you can write a prosbul shalom b'fnei Beis Din. So each one of those options is relying on a different kula. So it's based on this that there are two forms that are floating around that you can get them themselves on the, they're on the RCA based in a website. You just take a look, just hit prosbul, and you'll notice that they print out for you two different forms. So these two forms are these two options in terms of writing a prosbul.
You're doing it for Beis Din Choshev. Do the forms have to then be mailed to them, or are you just holding on?
So the pashas advarim is that if you're writing a prosbul, we call a prosbul for edim. That means you're not even going to the Beis Din in the first place. So the pashas advarim is that you don't even have to mail them to the Beis Din. That the Beis Din never has to even see these forms. That's the pashas advarim. On the RCA website, on the instructions for prosbul, so they write in these forms, when they give you that option B, so they tell you these forms should be mailed to Beis Din. So if I'm not mistaken, I asked them 7 years ago, what do you guys want all this extra bulk mail for? So if I remember correctly, I think what the response was, that no, not that we really have to send it to Beis Din, but we want people to realize that this is a serious thing, that this is not just a joke. A guy's going to fill out, not going to fill it out properly. So we wanted to give a little bit of a teeth to it, but in the Ikamik or Din, you probably don't really have to even send it at all. So if you want to save yourself postage, 42 cents.
If that's the question, it's really about reenacting the kind of principle, why can't you have both? And that's the question, say, okay, we're
reenact, yeah.
And then.
Yeah, because the Gemara says it was another reason why they required Beis Din Choshev, because the very Etzema Takona was dafka to insist on Beis Din Choshev. That was one side in the Gemara, but the Gemara never negates the second reason. So if you hold it, you need a Beis Din Choshev, it's really got to be, they got to be the one side in the Dalai Lama.
So I was going to say, so it's a Chumar that you have to do
with the Kula. Right, each one is a Chumar that's the Kula.
No, but if you mock one on the Beis Din Choshev, it turns out you only have two people.
Right, so that's the thing. So if you mock one, if you're very into this Beis Din Choshev,
why can't you do both?
We do two.
Three guys, and have them as Aidim to send it to the Beis Din Choshev. So you've done both.
No. If you hold like those Rishonim, like the Ramban and the Ran, the Beis Din has to be there at the time when you're writing the prosbul. Otherwise, that's not called Moshe Chavos LeBeis Din. It's not going to help.
That, but if you're taking the Kula, the first Kula of any
Right. Unless so you have three guys there.
And then have them send.
But the nusach that you write in the Prusbul for the Beis and Chosh that you mosa the chovas to the dayanim should be point, not mosa to the edim. So it's a contradictory text of the Prusbul. So the Bais said, because of this whole machlokes and Rishon and Balamon, there are two different Prusbuls out there. So there are some who they're very, very excited about this Beis and Choshev option, so they like to go the option of the Edim, of not actually giving it to the Beis and Choshev, but they should just be aware of the fact that according to the Ramban and the Ran, this Prusbul is Dvarim B'Teilim. The Prusbul is totally worthless if it's not handed over Mamash B'Fnei HaDayanim. So it has a Maila to it, but it has a B'Chisaron to it as well. Whereas the original Prusbul, the way we call it, more the conventional Prusbul, of riding it in front of three regular Tom, Dick, and Harry guys, so the Maila of that is that at least it's B'Fnei HaDayanim. The only thing is, according to the Ram and the Shulchan Aruch, it's possible, it's worthless, because it's not a Beis and Chasha. So how should we be Noeg L'Maisa? So Lefini has died to either one of them is perfectly okay. That Prusbul, Shmidis Ksafim is their Abana. We're not Mechup to start looking for Chumras and Shmidis Ksafim. So, Meikra, then either one is good, especially Ashkenazim. We rely on their Ramah. The Ramah's making on both Shilas. The Ramah's making, you don't need a Bezin Choshim. The Ramah's making like the Mordechai. You don't have to come to the Bezin either. So, Lefini has died to either one of these Prusbuls is perfectly acceptable. Which one should we recommend? I still haven't decided. Last Shmid, I did one. Two Shmidis ago, I did another. Flip a coin this year. See which one we should do. Each one has Malas and Chasrenis. There are some Poskim, particularly some post-Kim and Eretz Yisrael, who were very machped dafka to write the newfangled Prusbul, dafka to write the one b'fnei ha'edim, invoking the idea of Beis Din Chashev. Who are those post-Kim? So each one for a different reason. So one was of Avadi Yosef, one was of Moshe Sternbach. So Avadi Yosef writes this way in Yechav Adas for a very simple reason, because it's Sephardi. So he writes that if you don't write this way, if you don't write with the Beis Din Chashev, then the whole Prusbul is no good according to Maran HaMachaber. So he writes that for Sephardim, of course they have to write this second kind of Prusbul. Of course they have to write, either they have to mamash stand on line in front of Rebbe Vajja's Beis Din, to stand in Hanof all day, to get him mamish b'fnei ha'edim, b'fnei ha'dayonim. Or if you want to rely on the kulas of the Mordechai, you can do it shalom b'fnei ha'dayonim, then you must write a Prusbul of Beis Din Choshev. Just time to collect three guys and just have them sign off on a document. So Rebbe Vajja writes, for Sfardim, he thinks that's no good, because the Mechaber Paskins, like the Rambam, that you need mamish Beis Din Choshev. Rabbi Moshe Sternberg suggests to follow this v'lav v'tameh. He wasn't so concerned with the Shulchan Aruch in terms of that. He had a different quirk to it. Rav Sternberg has a diach from a Ramah. This is a throwback when we spoke about the Shumas Adeshin before. That Rav Sternberg claims that the minhag in Eastern Europe to be mekel, that the Ramah writes, that they used to be mekel to write the Shvacha Prusbuls were in front of Bezin, which was not a Bezin Choshev. They were only mekel this way because they were in Chutz Laretz, he writes. Because they were in Chutz Laretz, anyway, they had the Shumas Adeshin to fall back on. Maybe there's no need for a Prusbul altogether. But in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Sternberg writes, in the Aratz Tasmuchas, you live in Egypt, there was never such a minig. He says that we don't have any historical evidence that there ever was a minig in Eretz Yisrael to make on such Shvacha Prusbuls. So he writes, we who live in Hanof, we live in Yerushalayim, we live in Eretz Yisrael, we should not be relying on this kula. We should insist on a Beis Din Choshev. So either your mamash stand there in front of the Beis Din all day, or if you don't want to stand there all day, at least write it b'fnei ha'edim, who are going to testify that it's being done in that it's being nimsa to the Beis Din Choshev. So Rav Avadja, because he was a Sfardim, Moshe Sternberg, because he has Ishtuk Lepar with the Trumas Hadesh, and both came to the same conclusion that they both prefer this new style of Prusbul. Although Lemais, I think conventionally in our community, so the other Prusbul was definitely the more popular one. If I'm not mistaken, I think Moshe Feinstein wrote the original, the text that we use today, the old style of Prusbul, just three guys on the street. So that's what that was used in perhaps most of the Ashkenazi communities. So again, both Prusbuls are out there. Each one has its miles, each one has a chesronis. You can take a look yourselves and see which ones. If I'm not mistaken, I think we're going to try. I just heard, got wind of this idea now, that we may try to put together some kind of a Beis Din in town. So maybe perhaps to be yotze even the idea of a Beis Din Choshev. Again, how exactly define Beis Din Choshev? Is it a Beis Din that really sits on Dinei Mamonis? Probably not, but maybe you put together a Bonham in town, so maybe that has like a little bit like Rabbi Natan's watered down version, a little bit of a Beis Din Choshev. So maybe we can make it a little bit Efshel Lekayim Shneim. So rather than sending everybody to stand in line at the RCA Beis Din for all day, so maybe we'll make them stand half the day in the Bergenfield Beis Din. So we'll see. Keep in touch in terms of whether this Beis Din is going to actually, what the hours of operation are going to be. So maybe that'll be a little bit of a tikkun to be Yotzei Bilt Shittes.
If you just have the three Yotzeis, who keeps the star?
The Malvo always keeps the star. The Malvo, right. Right, right. The Shubazin doesn't want the star. Right.